Good morning. Welcome to our celebration today. We're continuing in our studies on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24 today. And it's really talking about our relationship with God. What's it like? From the start of the sermon, Jesus has been calling us to be different from the world and to be countercultural. Here in these verses, it's simply don't store treasures on earth, but store treasures in heaven. What we love determines how we live. I'm not sure you've heard the story of William Borden. William Borden was born into one of the wealthiest and most powerful families in Chicago. In 1904, he graduated from school, and as an heir to an estate, he was already a millionaire. But for his graduation present, his parents gave 16-year-old Borden a trip around the world. He traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. He felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. Bill Borden wrote about his desire to be a missionary. When people heard this, they began to say he's throwing himself away. In response, Bill wrote two words in the back of his Bible: no reserves. During his college years, Borden made one entry into his journey that defined him. Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. When he graduated from Yale, Borden turned down every job that he was offered, high-paying jobs. In his Bible, he wrote two more words: no retreats. After graduating, he sailed for China, hoping to work with Muslims. He first stopped in Egypt to study Arabic. While there, he contracted spinal meningitis. Within a month, 25-year-old Bill Borden died. But before he died, he'd written two final words in his Bible: no regrets. In his biography, it said these words: Borden gave away himself in a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice. Now, what if our heart, what if our lives reflected such a response? No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. What Jesus is asking: who or what has first place in our lives? You see, Jesus wants his followers to choose well, for eternity lies in the balance. Writer Douglas Hare says those who assess their own worth and that of others in terms of acquired treasures render themselves exceedingly vulnerable to the twists and turns of life. Jesus' followers are instructed to avoid such insecurity by accumulating an invulnerable treasure consisting of kindness performed for the glory of God. What are the real priorities of the disciples of Jesus? Those who have submitted to his reign and whose hearts are righteous? Well, Jesus answers: your choice, your treasure. There's two treasures, you see, according to verses 19 and 20: earth or heaven. And he gives us an understanding how to handle treasure. Verse 19 gives us a negative command. Verse 20 gives us a positive command. And verse 21 gives us a reason. Jesus calls us to turn our hearts to heaven and accumulate treasures there. Worldly treasures never last, you see. Eternal treasures never perish. You can treasure a lavish life of stuff, or you can treasure the lasting stuff of life. Basically, it's down to our heart affections. Don't store up, verse 19 says. Don't store up. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things, nothing wrong with having savings. It's talking about the things that become the object of our life and our heart's affections. In Jesus' day, wealth was found in three areas: the amount of clothing you earned, the amount of food you stored, and the amount of gold accumulated. And Christ is clearing up the common thinking that if you have a lot, it's because God is blessing you. And if you don't, you must not be right with him. He's referring to accumulations of things as a focus of our hearts and of our joy and of our love, the desire to acquire. Jesus highlights the problem and their vulnerability to deterioration and theft. You see, your choices make you. The thing is, you cannot hold two treasures. Jesus is not out to make sure he gets your stuff. Jesus is concerned that your stuff doesn't get you. We have to direct our life towards the eternal, he says. Philippians 3. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Your choices do make you. Your treasure will be your vision. If your idea of a treasure aligns with God's idea, life-changing things happen. The treasure of the heart usually follows the eyes. Jesus is talking about the importance of having our heart in the right place. This familiar phrase, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It was Bonhoeffer that said, everything which hinders us from loving God above all things and acts as a barrier between ourselves and our obedience to Jesus is our treasure and where our heart is. Jesus is calling for unswerving loyalty to the kingdom of God. He's calling for a single purpose in the hearts of the disciples. Every one of us is storing up something somewhere, giving motivation and purpose to our life. The way that we look at life and what it consists of is an indication of our spirituality. And Jesus uses the metaphor of the human eye to talk about that priority. He's concerned about the danger of focusing on or laying up treasures on earth. We have all had experience of seeing something and wanting it. But we're reminded in 1 John 2, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what we have and does not come from the Father, but from the world. We need to be able to visualize God's vision for our lives. The eye is the lamp of the body, Matthew 6 says. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Have you heard the phrase, what you see is what you get? Acronym WYSIWYG. That phrase took on a new meaning with the onset of Windows and the interface for personal computers. The new technology meant that what you saw on the screen was exactly how it would look when printed. What do you think? And what do you think of when you think about your relationship with Christ? Is it merely ritual or tradition? Our eyes have it. What's your vision like? What you see is what you get. What's your treasure like? You see, double standard living doesn't work. Neither does double vision. It's simply about two sights. Heart sight, verse 22, or eye sight, me sight, verse 23. Lie sight or no sight. Let's look at verse 22 to start with. Your vision, that heart sight. Jesus starts out, the eye is the lamp of the body. Rather than light coming in from the outside, light comes from the inside. So how you really see depends entirely on your inner spirit. The eye is the lamp or the window of the body. Almost everything the body does depends on the ability to see. The eye illumines what the body does. And Jesus is comparing heart sight to eye sight. He wants us to realize the importance of having eyes that are sound and healthy. I realize that my focus impacts my life. Jesus says, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Is there light in our life? Are you? Am I full of light? When Jesus talks of good eyes, he uses a word that is difficult to translate. Its various meanings are healthy, undivided, generous, or single. Here, the good eye represents a single focus. The Greek actually means unfolded or without folds. Just as our physical eye affects our whole body, So our ambition, our focus, affects our whole life. Our minds determine the direction of our lives. Whatever we focus on becomes the priority. I love the story of a visiting preacher who was really getting the congregation going. Near the end of his sermon, he said, "This church has really got to get up and walk," to which someone in the back yelled, "Let her walk." The preacher then said, "If this church is going to go, it's got to get up and run," to which someone again yelled with gusto, "Let her run." And feeling the surge of the church, the preacher then said with even louder gusto, "If this church is going to go, it's got to really fly." And once again, with even greater gusto, someone yelled out, "Let her fly, let her fly." The preacher then seized the moment. "If this church is really going to fly, it's going to need money." And there was a silence, a huge pause. Then someone in the back shouted, "Let her walk, let her walk." Whatever we focus on gets us. Maybe if we're not careful, our focus could lead us to cut back on our service to God, our love for Him, even our loyalty to Him. Remember what Borden said? Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. Paul says in Colossians 3, "Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honour and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down on earth. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." Did you pick up the start of the verse? "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven." What about it? Filson says, "A person who had divided their interests and tries to focus on both God and possessions has no clear vision and will live without clear orientation or direction. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light," verse 22 says. Or as the New Living Translation says, a pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. It's all a question of vision. Physical vision allows us to see what we're doing and where we are going. If we have spiritual vision and our spiritual perspective is correct, then life is filled with heavenly purpose and drive. Or as Tom Long wrote, "The decision is to store up treasure on earth or treasures in heaven is not one of mere financial planning. It's one of basic orientation. If a person sees life as a gift from God, a bountiful outpouring of God's providence, then that person is free to hold possessions with a light grasp and to be generous towards others. These are the true treasures, the treasures of the kingdom, a fortune no thief can plunder." Your vision? Is it heart sight? Or is it, as in verse 23, I, me sight? Advertising has two basic messages. One, you do not yet have all the things you need to be happy. Two, the things you already have are not good enough. If our vision becomes clouded by the false gods of materialism and we lose sense of our values, then life is in darkness and we cannot see where we're going. When our eyes are focused on material concerns, they're blind to spiritual concerns. To earn for the sake of earning, and that, Jesus says, can be plunged us into moral darkness. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. So Jesus says, if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. It's clear that Jesus was not speaking simply of the physical eye. His concern was for spiritual health of his disciples, for you and I. But what is this inner light of the disciples? And how can such light be darkness? I want to refer to another story. Remember the vineyard workers in Matthew 20? When those who worked all day grumbled that they were paid the same wages as those who worked only 1 hour. The owner said to one of the grumbling workers, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" Do you know what the Greek literally means? "Is your eye evil because I myself am good?" When another priority takes over in a disciple's life, it cuts out the lamp of the gospel and it turns to darkness. The spiritual equivalent of attempting to look two different directions at once. How much is enough? Eyesight, me-sight says nothing is ever enough. Ecclesiastes 2 says, I denied myself nothing in my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. The person who treasures things in heaven sees everything in its true worth, sees everything from an eternal perspective. The person who treasures what's on earth, by contrast, sees everything from a perspective that misperceives the relative importance of things. If the eye of your soul is not functioning, then you're in the dark about everything. Simply lost. You don't know where you are or where you are going, Jesus says. If the light, verse 23, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If where there should be light, there is only darkness, that means there is a corruption in your heart. The very center of a person's life, a complete lack of vision. And you know the answer? We have to get back to allowing the light of Christ to shine within us again and to have done with the darkness in our life. We can't live completely in darkness all the time. We have to allow the light of Christ to come. Is your light within you dark? Or how are you knowing the Spirit of God coming in the most wonderful way, opening up whole new vistas to the purposes and plans that he has for you? Verse 24 talks about two masters. We cannot serve two masters. Focusing on the treasure of Jesus and his kingdom will mean we view our wealth as a resource to be used for his purpose. The only cure for spiritual blind eyes is to surrender your treasure. You reveal your loyalty to God by the allegiance of your will. So who are you going to serve? Barclay says, mammon, the root word means entrust. Wealth given to a bank for safekeeping. But as years went on, it became to mean not what's entrusted, but that which we trust. Think about this. God has given to us everything. Yet we trust the gifts, sometimes more than the giver. What are you preoccupied with? What do you talk about most? Is it money? Holidays, things, house? What you're saving up to buy someday? Or is it about your life in Christ? Is it about your faith? The problem with our preoccupation with things is that it will take our focus off Jesus Christ. We never ever want that to happen, do we? 2 Corinthians 4 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12 says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we want to know and truly know where the center of our being is, all we have to do is honestly admit where our treasure is. Either God is served with a single-minded devotion, or he's not served at all. The image we see in this spiritual mirror may be terrifying, but the reflection is gracious, for then we can do something about the situation with God's help and by his Spirit. Jesus represents a person. You and I as a slave to either God or to money. Although it is possible to work for two employers, it is impossible to serve two masters, since by definition a master owns the slave. Jesus encourages us to look to him so that our eyes will reflect his presence within us. We will be full of light and hope and joy and purpose. Then our vision will not be distorted by our own sin, preconceptions or misperceptions. Can I ask again? Where are you in your life with Jesus? What we love, determines how we live. Are you prepared to say, with the likes of Bill Borden, I'm saying no to self and yes to Jesus every time? Are you prepared to hold on to no reserves, no retreats, no regrets? It's my prayer we will, for His glory. Amen.